This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hello, you're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show. I am Alison Spittle. This is a podcast. This podcast this week is different to my other podcasts because I did the Dublin Podcast Festival, which happened earlier this year. And instead of doing a normal interview in front of an audience, I did a panel. And the people on the panel were Shona Murray. She's a fantastic journalist. She's been around the world and she's just a sharp, sharp lady. Shauna Scott, who owns sexshopper.ie. We had a great laugh on my previous podcast with her. And Andrea Farrell, who's the producer of the Alison Spittle Show and a fantastic comedian. She's my support act for the tour that we're doing at the moment, Ovorier Princess. So I think a lot of her and delighted that she was on the show. Those three people are going to be on this podcast right now. But before I let you go, just to say one thing. This week's show is sponsored by Copperberg. Okay, did you hear that? I said Copperberg. I'm contractually obliged to do this. Listen out for an advert. It's coming soon. Now? Yeah, there we go. And I'll run up. Okay, thanks. Agile as I thought I was. How are you? So this is like a Dublin Podcast Festival special. So the way I'm making this special, guys, is I got the mother of all prizes to give away. Okay? Who's excited about the prizes? Cool. Okay. Wait there, I'll take off my jumper. It's too warm to care about abortion now, do you know? So, thank you so much for coming to the show. And today I'm going to do a panel of guests that I've had in studio that I didn't do in front of a live audience. And I think they're so class that they deserve to be in front of a live audience. So, will you please give a big round of applause for Andrea Farrell? Woo! Shona Murray? Woo! And Shauna Scott? Woo! Woo! You sit there. Oh, yeah, get rid of the shite. I'm sorry, I've messed up the place. Now, beautiful. Hey!
Lovely.
Yeah, just come up these stairs here, chicken. Would you like a mask?
The vibrator's gone, is it?
We can bring... Can we borrow the vibrator for a minute just to look at the pack? Is that okay? Which one did I give to Anne-Marie? Anne-Marie, can I just have it back for a second?
You have to test it out before the show's over.
In the Frey Bentos pie.
So we can give...
That would be disgusting. I'm sorry. I will give it back though, I promise, okay?
Better.
Okay.
We need to examine it.
Okay.
Because we have the owner of Sex Shop here.
So Shauna Scott runs sexshopper.ie. Hey, which is a sex shop. Now, have you seen these before?
I've seen photos of them on the internet, but I've never seen one in the wild.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Oh, I'm excited.
What?
I've never seen one of these before in my life.
Oh, the way it comes out, it's like a dog's Mickey, isn't it?
Oh, well, they didn't give you batteries in it. Yeah, it's like that lipstick that comes out of your dog and then you lock him out the back because you're like, I don't want to look at you
like
that.
I just feel like slapping it away, going, bold.
Okay, well, just off the bat.
Okay, what's wrong? What are we seeing here now? This is like Top Gear, but for vibrators. It's a great chassis on it. It's a great...
Yeah, it's the celebrity...
reasonably priced vibrator. And he's going down Gambon Way.
There's no battery in it, so I'm kind of disappointed.
Are there batteries in the audience?
Does anyone have a AA battery?
I think it might need two. I don't know. Yeah, I've never seen them.
So, what are we... Like,
I mean, it's hard to tell because I can't turn it on because there's no battery. But like off the bat, like it is a body safe material. That's part of my whole thing is like I only stock toys that are made from body safe materials. So technically, I could stock this.
Really?
I could, yeah. I don't know.
You?
Because it's
seriously,
it's
does anyone have a battery? I should have thought of this.
It's $149
in deals. Amazing, we got a battery! Yeah. Thank you so much, Alan. I mean, that's the strangest request. I need batteries on my rider for my...
Oh, yeah! Yeah!
So how was that?
So it's one speed. Okay. There's no extra speeds. Okay.
It only knows one speed, and that's fast.
It's all right. Like for $149, it's not too bad.
Okay.
I don't know what I was expecting for $149. If you want,
I was expecting like screws on the back of it or something, you know? Like a rusty car.
Oh, that's got a wicked speed in it now. It's like when there's something faulty with the washing machine and it's just going a bit mad and you sit in it.
Yeah.
Just to stop it shaking around.
Yeah, of course.
It's a really classic shape. Like that shape would have been around since like the 70s.
The dick shape.
No, like that the vibrator classic, shape. But yeah, like
the classic, you know. Skinny dick. You should have got two and had a race across the stage.
Wait, we try.
Oh, fucking Jesus, fucking fast.
It's like, imagine like Derek and Cora with like Ghost where it's like, is there anyone there?
Oh my God.
It's possessed. So yeah, we'll leave that. We'll give it back. We'll give it a wash, though. I mean, we have put it on the floor. Can we borrow that vibrator and just fuck it on the floor?
Here, we'll put it back in the box for...
We will. Right. Class.
Just like new.
Now...
Thank you for that. I've been wanting to, like, see one of those in real life.
Are you going
to
stock them?
Just watch me go to deals and just like take everything off.
Yeah.
Have like a 200 or 300% markup. They're a fiver at Sex Shuffa. Yeah.
But what's the cheapest thing you sell at Sex Shuffa, actually?
The cheapest thing I sell is a 10 euro masturbation sleeve called a Tanga egg that you crack open. It's kind of like a Kinder egg for your penis.
That's the most grim sentence I've ever heard.
And it has like texture on the inside, and you pull it over your penis and you masturbate with it. Or if you're a lady and you're feeling quite selfish, you turn it inside out and you use it on yourself. Or you can put it over the head of your favorite wand vibrator and use it that way.
So it's multi-purpose.
Multi-purpose, yeah.
That's quite cool.
But the cheapest vibrator I stock is 25 euro. I like to think that they're a little bit better than the 1.49 euro ones from Deals, though.
That was, I mean... It was shaking like you were questioning a person for murder. Do you know what I mean? You're like, where are the crystals? Can I just say you're going to get a free battery with this vibrator? So I don't feel so bad. I should talk to the Trevi. I'm sorry. I was just like, as soon as the vibrator come out, I was like, I know who I'll chat about this. But what are your feelings generally? I feel I've left you out. What are your feelings on vibrators now and stuff like that?
Well, I bought my first one a few years ago when I was buying some bras and knickers in Ann Summers, and I was just paying for them, minding my own business. And the woman at the counter had a box of vibrators beside the till. And she said, do you want to buy one of them as well? And I just said, yeah.
Did you buy the brand knickers just as a sort of a decoy to actually buy
it? I didn't. I looked, because they kind of keep all the sex toy stuff in this like weird little alcove that's kind of like feels like, oh, I shouldn't be in here. You know, so I was
you're
just
already
like,
in there anyway.
Yeah, but I'm like, but I'm just buying the bras and knickers like an innocent woman, you know? And then, you know, she got me. It was kind of like, you know, the first ones were free.
Oh yeah,
like a dirty drug deal.
Like an
And now I have I have another one. I've got two. And the second one you charge with a USB, which I think is a bit weird.
Did you buy it from me?
No.
Why not?
This interview's over.
I was joking about wanting this massive one as a joke, but also not joking. But my boyfriend bought it for me, and he just bought it because he said I just bought it because I knew that you would think I would never buy it, and so he ordered it to the house, and I was just afraid that it would come up in like a big. You always think these
in
things
in a big vibrator shaped package.
You always think they'll arrive in like a clear bag, you know. And that the postman will knock and there'll be nobody there, so he'll have to call into all your neighbours and ask them one by one if they'll take in this dildo. But no, it came in. I was home, opened it up, was like, oh, thanks very much, Mr. Postman, and went in, charged it up, and it's very big. So I haven't used it much because it's just a hindrance. I was using it as a paperweight for a while, but it disturbed people when they saw it. Just was like, just on a book there, you know.
Sarah, the lovely producer, she went into deals. She said, because we're buying prizes, and she's like, what do you want to get now for the prizes? And I just said, get 2 free Bentos pies and a vibrator. And she was like, okay. And I was chatting to her earlier, and she said that she felt very judged by the woman in deals. Very judged. She tried to do the self-service, you know, to avoid all that. But apparently, to be over 18 to buy a vibrator. So, yeah.
Is that true?
Is that true? Yeah.
Is that true?
Is that legally true?
I'm not entirely sure if it's legally true. I know, like, there isn't a sex shop in the country who will allow anyone under 18 in.
Inside.
Really?
Yeah.
And why is that? Is that just...
We were all buying poppers when we were 15. Just for the sniffy giggles.
A simple old poppers.
A simple old sniff.
It sounds like Brennan's Bread Today or something nostalgic. Yeah. We went out to the old sex shop and we got ourselves some poppers back in the day. Good times. Good innocent
times. It's all
different
now.
I have a friend who's a manager of one of the sex shops on Capel Street. And he was like, could you show me how to use Instagram? I was like, yeah, no problem. I just like went over and kind of showed him how to like set up his account and stuff. And he was like, oh, could I get you anything? Like, you know, thank you so much for helping me. I'm like, I don't need anything. It's fine. Like, we're friends. Like, he just hands me a tin of poppers. He's like, here you go.
But you have all the poppers you could ever want, surely?
No, I don't sell poppers.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Oh, do you not?
No. No.
Is that a moral thing, or is it just?
I don't know if it's moral. I just I'm not. They wouldn't be body safe, and so I wouldn't stock them.
That's true. The first and only time thing. I did poppers.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I did poppers in college, the only time, and I did it in the back of a taxi. And my friends were all going to Patty Bear. My friends were all, and they were taking their poppers and it was grabbing to pass it to me. And I put it up to my nose and the taxi man went over a big bump. And my face was destroyed. All of my nose was, my skin was bubbling. I was like, this is not for me now. This is...
They're making a big comeback, though. I think a lot of people start taking them. I was in Paris last month and actually they're quite big in Paris.
No!
Yeah. I'm not joking. Yeah, I knew. I saw 2 people. I could smell from a mile away.
Oh, it's a lovely smell, though, isn't it?
Well, that's what they are. Terrible. They're just room scent, right? That's what they sell it as now.
Room deodorizer.
Yeah. That's popper scented.
It's not deodorizing with poppers.
I don't know.
Maybe it's nice you walk in and it sort of it's happy memories and sort of you're reminiscing and you get a little bit high.
That would be great. Actually,
they have like the Glade things, you know, the way you can plug them in.
No, they're
and
doing
it just releases
one.
The poppers the whole time.
Plastic. That would be class. I used face setting spray for the first time there last month and I felt like I was going back in time because I did it and I got a bit high off it, you know, because it's just an aerosol in your face. And I felt like 14 again. Because I used to watch Hollyoaks and sniff hairspray the whole time. Just.
Did you used to do aerosol?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very dangerous.
Just for a few months. Like, you know, just, I watched the film 13. Do you remember that film? I watched that film with my friend, and we were 13 at the time. And we watched it. And it's supposed to be like this message thing where you're like, you're fucking up your life. We haven't even given a blowjob yet. And they've done it. Do you know? We're like, we're not living our lives to our full potential. Look at those. So we tried aerosols because they did it. And not the best film to watch when you're 13. But have you ever done aerosols?
I've never done aerosols, but a big thing in the States is nitrous, like laughing gas when you're going to the dentist. And I didn't get a filling done in my mouth until I was... Sorry, that could have... that could have gone a different way. I didn't get like a cavity until I was like 27.
Oh, fair play, huh?
I know, really good dental health. So I was like, I was really nervous... And the dentist was like, would you like some laughing gas? I was like, do you guys still do that? Is that like still a thing? He's like, oh yeah, sure. And I felt like I was in a music video. He's like, just, you know, the drills are going to be really loud, so just wear some headphones. So I was like listening to like Lady Gaga, thinking I was like in a music video, and I had like all these hands in my mouth, like drilling away. And I was like, this is fucking great.
Did anyone make a funny video of you in the back of a car then afterwards?
I wish. No, they didn't.
I find those very morally wrong. Yeah. Do you know? Where they're videoing a poor lady coming out of anesthetic and she goes to the doctor, you're cute. And he's like, oh, no, I'm not. And he's like staring at the camera going, please do not read into this in any way. He's like, I've never experienced this before. I don't know. I find it kind of morally odd. But I should ask you, like, how was your week? What did you get up to, Shona?
What did I get up to? Jesus. I was in work today, and I work as a journalist, so I was covering the Oireachtas Committee on Abortion. Seeing as we had a repeal of the Eighth Jumper.
It's going to be a horrible 9 months.
It's going to be, yeah.
But the Pope's coming, so everything's going to be grand.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. I think it was the second meeting of the committee, and I actually think that the evidence is there for, well, after the Citizens Assembly, you know, where they overwhelmingly voted to repeal the 8th, I think there's a lot of hope for people who want to see the 8th Amendment repealed. And one of the things that we heard of today was that if it is repealed, it doesn't mean really the huge amount straight away in terms of, well, you certainly probably won't have an open-minded abortion regime. Would be something much more limited.
But it won't be like what William Binchy wanted.
Won't be abortion mills. I know you were hoping for abortion mills.
Oh, I just want it on demand. Like my Spotify. Just you pay a monthly subscription and whenever you need it done. I did say, yeah, I'm
the
kind 10th of
free or something like that.
10th free, that'd be great, like
the 10th
coffee.
Free, you get a little docket, yeah.
But that's what they think women who want abortions are doing. They're just constantly going, and this woman had 14 abortions and she still has the gall to have sex. Like, that's basically what they're talking about. So it's coming out, the referendum's coming out May,
it's interesting
June?
Because there isn't a specific date, but there's a huge difference between May and June, of course, because a lot of students will be in doing their J1s and going away for the summer. So if it's June, it might be tighter. Mm. And so that's a big deal. I mean, the same-sex marriage referendum was the 22nd of May. Everybody was around. Obviously, we had a lot of people coming home to vote. I don't know, would people postpone their trips abroad, their summers abroad for it? Depends on what date it'll be. So that has to, I mean, that's a big deal, I think.
And when are they going to come out with an
I'd
actual date?
I'd say they'll probably do that. They only announced yesterday that it'll be May, June. So in the coming weeks when they put the timetable together, then it's up to the students to decide whether they want to, you know, sacrifice a couple of weeks here and there to make it work or not. And I think it will be a slim enough majority if it passes, so you'd need all the people in the country.
And I was just thinking about this today, like with the yes vote, with the same-sex marriage referendum, all the parties seem to be behind same-sex marriage, so they're all pushing their posters forward and everything like that. Is there a political will from any of the parties?
It's interesting. The Taoiseach hasn't confirmed whether he's going to campaign to pass I think he said before he does think it should happen. But it'll depend on what the question is specifically. And then you have Fianna Fáil, I think, has said that they would probably campaign for a no. And then would you believe? I think so. And that, but I think the other thing is actually with political parties, because it's such a sensitive issue, there might be just a free vote on it rather than a whip, so that they may not as a party campaign. I'd say Fine Gael, if they're going to vote, they'll campaign for it and maybe, you know, look for a yes. Labour Party would look for a yes. The Greens would look for a yes, I'd say. Independents, their own. Sinn Féin probably look for a yes. And then Fianna Fáil maybe a free vote. So there'll be an interesting way. But then, of course, you have to then, when you're brought from a journalistic perspective as a broadcaster, you have to give the interpretation of the law is that you have to give equal time to the yes side and the no side. So, you know, I'm sure it's going to get kind of nasty and you'll hear all the same voices, the David Quinns and the John Waters and people like that, the William Binchies and abortion mills. And
William Binchy, is he still able to chat now or is
he
not?
I think he is, yeah. And today actually at the meeting, Matty McGrath, the independent TD, proposed that a committee, all as in everybody who was there, the public committee, watch a 3-minute video on the termination of a late-term pregnancy, to which the committee refused to watch. It was just something he suggested. Maybe we should watch this 3-minute movie.
Jesus. He's like a lad at the house party.
Said, no, that's
look at this YouTube video.
Yeah.
Of this lad breaking his arm. Go on. Sorry.
But anyway, it was deemed inappropriate, obviously.
I'd say so.
So we're going to have a lot of that for the next time. It's going to be a difficult period.
I don't mean to focus on how difficult it is, but like, it's just, you know, you keep going, I want a referendum, I want this referendum now, and then you get the referendum, you're like, fuck. Yeah, John Walters.
We'll get over it. We'll get on with it and get over it and have a.
Yeah.
Done.
I'm still going to drink cans on the street. Like,
even if it's a no. If it's a no,
it'll just be very angry cans. Yeah. It'll be like, I don't feel welcome in this country. I'm not safe. And then drink a West Coast cooler.
And so it'd be weird, though, because, you know, remember during the same-sex marriage referendum, we had people come get in the boat to vote. But now instead of getting the boat over to have an abortion, you'll have... You have people from London getting the boat back to Ireland. You know, it's like, this is weird.
The boat industry is very interlinked for the abortion industry.
Actually, I'd say you have Stena, SeaLink and stuff funding the anti-choice campaign because they're going to lose so much money. Yeah. Ryanair, all those early flights to Bristol and places like that as well. There'll be empty seats.
They will. They're very against like women on web and stuff. They'll be like, no, you come over to the UK for your abortion.
The Airbnb industry in Liverpool, some of them. Yeah, loss of hundreds of jobs.
I went with a friend. She got an abortion over in England, and we got the airplane over to Liverpool, and then we got the taxi from the airport to the clinic, and the taxi driver was lovely at first. All right, girls, where are you going? And she was crying. He's like, the Mary Stopes Clinic, please. And then they went, okay, and turned up the radio and never talked to us again. One of the songs on the radio was, don't you remember I told you I loved you, baby? Baby. That is so, there's going to be so caught and so many economies destroyed.
It'll be in Freakonomics in 10 years' time. Link between the repealing of the 8th Amendment and the high unemployment rate and reduction in the industry in places like Manchester and north of England.
I'm looking forward to that referendum. I'm going to vote.
Wait, I have a question. So you know the way... Sorry.
No, you should totally. This is what it's for. Don't worry. Could I get another drink, if that's okay? I'll pay. I've got a card. Like, just a vodka soda, please. Maria Doyle Kennedy had one. I was like, fuck it, I'll have that. I feel so sophisticated.
You know, during the committee when your man was saying, come on, we should all watch this video. Did that happen during the... gay marriage referendum where they were like, if we're voting this in, we need to watch this. We need to watch these two men having sex.
Or two women.
Oh,
sure it
did. The realities.
I'd say a few members of some of those parties had a few of those videos already. And they were just like, oh, well, I actually have a collection. Put on.
Thank you very much to Kopparberg, the Swedish cider company. They beat Italy this week. Well, not the Swedish cider company, but Sweden did in the football, so I bet they're delighted. And I'm sure they beat Italy making cider as well, so good for them. They've got a competition happening on their Facebook and Instagram. All you have to do is tag at Kopparberg Ireland in a post, be on Facebook or Instagram. It's cool. Do you know what you win if you do that? Well, you have to be, you'll be put into a draw, but you know what you get a chance of winning? It is a year subscription to Spotify Premium, which means Spotify without the adverts. And Jesus, we all hate adverts. I mean, you're listening to one right now. Wouldn't you love to get rid of this? Well, you can't. No, you can't with Spotify Premium because it's in the middle of this podcast. You could skip. Don't skip. Don't skip. Thanks very much, you guys. Back to the show.
I have a few questions that I've written down that I thought of. What's the best quality you look for in a public toilet?
I only poo in 5-star hotels. Because
this sounds like you're like a working girl.
No.
I only poo in 5-star hotels.
This is the thing, right? I have Crohn's and I have issues with the toilet. So I just always, if I need to go, I'm grand now, but it used to piss me off if I'd be in Stephen's Green and have to put in a bit of money to go to the toilet. Mm. And then I have a friend who works in the hotel industry, and she said 5-star hotels, one of the reasons why they get their 5th-star is because they have public access toilets, and that you don't have to be staying at that hotel to use other, you know, other 4-star and 3-star hotels. You can't just walk in. So that's why I always poo up in the Shelburne. And
I don't know
there's
if that's
a fucking
true. I really don't think that you get a 5th-star because you give access to people on the street.
If no, it's
a poo.
It's
one, I don't think they look. They look
it's
for the,
one
sort
of the
social
it's one
moral
of the many,
impact many on in the area. I think it's more to do with whether if you have a swimming pool or not, rather than
can
a
you
toilet for random
pools.
The Shelburne don't have a swimming pool.
The Shelburne has a barber.
Yeah, they have a barber in the toilet. Also, I wouldn't have known
you
that if I hadn't
there
just walked
now.
In.
It would make his job hard. I like hand cream. I think that's a good quality toilet for me.
Yeah, they leave some of that in the Shelburne, yeah.
And I want an enclosed space in my toilet.
No, so you can't hear anything?
Hear yeah. anything, yeah. Nothing. I don't want to, nothing at all.
Have you ever
just
done
me
such?
In the toilet, do you know? Because sometimes I get a bit too comfortable at the toilet and I put on a video or something and I'll watch it.
And then you get up and you got pins and needles and you fucking can't walk.
Or no, because I'll hear someone, like I'd think I'd be alone and then I'd get a bit too relaxed and act like I'm on my own and then you'd hear a like a warning cough to go like, you're not alone, don't yeah. shit now. So I'd be like, okay. But yeah, my Supermax O'Connell Street, very bad toilets. Just there's a broken window. It's very bad. It's very bad. Don't like it at all. They have that weird blue light. I once had a piss in the forecourts. Do you remember the woman Lion Eyes? Do you remember that lady?
Sharon, wasn't her name?
Sharon.
Lion Eyes.
Her alias was Lion Eyes. That she wanted to get her husband killed. Wasn't that it?
Yeah. And the weird thing was, and it was, she got done.
That wasn't the weird thing though.
Oh, well, I was going for a piss in the forecourts and there was a band outside of the toilet cubicle and she nodded at me and I was like, okay. And I went in, did my business, I came out and there was Lion Eye, she was washing her hands and I was pissing beside a woman that got found guilty on conspiracy to murder. And it's just the most starstruck I've ever been. Like, I was like, oh, hello. Hello, Miss Lion Eyes.
Did she have handcuffs on her or was she just on her own?
No, so she had the Vanguard with her. But the Vanguard wasn't in the cubicle. She was beside the cubicle. But she watched her very intently while she was washing her hands. So she couldn't do any funny business. And but the lad...
Throw
the,
some water on the floor and slip and put a claim in.
Put a claim in. No justice. No. Have you ever met anyone, any celebrity in a public toilet before? And how do you feel about hand cream in a toilet? I should ask you too, sorry.
I don't really use hand cream. I know.
Someone fell off their chair.
I like body lotion.
Fair enough.
And I'd be quite like Andrea in that I like a nice fancy hotel. I don't like going into fast food restaurants because they really like stare you down. They're like, buy something or get out. Like, you're not using our toilets.
I was eating chips on the way into the toilet, like, fuck you.
Yeah, so I kind of like, I have a few public toilets that I go to like when I'm in the city center. So like the Westin on Westmoreland Street is really good.
Great one, yeah.
Yeah,
I can vouch
really,
for that.
Really good one. And then like I have an office, like my office is just off O'Connell Street. So if I'm in work, I'll use that, or I'll go to my friend Lindsay, who is a hair removal expert, and she has a very nice toilet in her place. So oftentimes I might text her and be like, hey, are we going to lunch? Also, can I use your toilet? And just like bother her. Yeah.
Nice. You don't have any favorite toilets though?
There's so many. I mean, I like a good toilet, you know, like the rest of us. It's not like I prefer.
Sorry, I make you feel left out.
No, it's just like, you know, your implication was that I don't like nice toilets. I love a nice toilet. But I just I don't have any favorites around town. But I get what you're saying about the enclosed thing, and I like some, you know, I use the hand cream when it's there. So I was just racking my brain to think if I had ever seen a famous person in the toilet, and I was like, what context?
Misha Barton,
you know,
in a toilet.
From the OC?
Yeah, in Rerun. I'm so sorry for interrupting you, but she's more famous than Lion Eyes.
And you're in the toilet, so.
Yeah, well, I was dancing in Rerun, and there was this weird lad dancing beside me, and I was like, hey. And then there was Misha Barton dancing, and we were dancing to David Bowie, and then we went into the toilet together. Not together. She went in on her cubicle, I went in on mine. And then I came out, and these girls were like, Misha, can I get a photo with you? And she's like, please, I'm no, thank you, please. And they were like, oh, you're such a bitch. And I was like, leave Misha alone. Leave her. And then we looked at each other, and then I walked away. I was like, I'll leave you alone too. So I hope she remembers that. I doubt she does, but that's my toilet time with Misha. I'll ask you another question. These are very odd. No, they're not. Don't put yourself down, Alison. Yeah. What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten under duress? I don't have any anecdotes on this. Don't worry, it's not. I'll think of one. But
I live with a Romanian guy, and his sister was visiting, and she brought over all these like jelly beans. And they're like, it's kind of like mix and match, you know, half the packet are nice and half the packet are like, you know, tastes like shit and, you know, chew them off the street. And so they just play this game of like kind of Russian roulette with the beans. And they said some stuff to each other in Romanian and then laughed and then said, do you want to play this game? And I said, yeah, of course, like sweets. And I got fucking like horse shit or something.
Horse shit flavored,
and that was disgusting. But lovely lad. He's engaged to my friend who also lives in the house.
Oh.
His name is Sorin.
Like, that sounds
lovely. They're not here. Fuck it. They listen to the podcast. They're lovely housemates.
We'll edit that out. What about yourself, Shona?
I can't think of anything now.
Because you've been like around the world and stuff. Is there anything weird you've eaten around the world?
Yeah, I'm sure there is, but probably not under duress.
Yeah, maybe I should take out that
bit. Take that bit out, yeah. Yeah, but I still can't think of anything that strange that I've eaten. I mean, you know, bits of goat or whatever, but like people eat that all the time now, don't they?
Have you ever thrown up after something? Just because it was so rotten?
Oh, no, it was a couple of hours afterwards. Yeah, I remember with the West Bank one time in the middle of the night, I'd eaten this weird meat. I didn't know what it was. Sometimes you just don't know what the meat is, you know. I think it might have been goat, whatever.
You're best off not asking.
And sometimes you don't ask, you know, because you just don't hear the
don't
answer.
Tell.
And sometimes they still like, will have the head of the goat or the animal, whatever, still on intact. And you're like, that's appetizing. And yeah, but anyway, but sure, we've all had our vomiting. So I can't think of anything major, like shocking, you know, that thankfully I've had to.
Cool. What about you?
So a couple of things spring to mind. You said like under duress. I don't know if it's weird, but like my parents went on this like really like strict health kick when like in the mid 90s when everybody was like juicing everything. My dad was like mad into juicing, but like he really loved like squash and like boiled vegetables and things. So they used to try to make me eat squash all the time, and I hated it. And there was one time I nearly like threw up at the dinner table. They're like, just eat it or you don't get dessert. I'm like, I don't want dessert. And they're like, we'll eat it anyway. And then they'd, and I don't know if your guys' parents used to do this, but they would set the timer on the oven. They're like, you have 5 minutes to finish that or you're going to bed. And so there'd be like a 5 minute, it was like countdown, but like for
eating. Butternut squash, is that it?
No, I don't know. Just like regular, like gross, disgusting squash. Is there multiple types of different squash?
I don't know. There's
the spores. Butternut squash. Is it a vegetable? Like a root vegetable?
Yeah. Yeah. Like a pumpkin, but longer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was that, and then
they just made it to Ireland, butternut squashes. It's something that people eat now.
It's novelty.
With huge gusto. Yeah.
Like donuts.
And then in 2008, I remember because it was during the when Obama was elected, like a month before Obama was elected, I was in Egypt and everyone was like obsessed with Obama. And I took a train from Cairo to Aswan and they were like, would you like some wine with your dinner on the train? And I was like, yes, absolutely. I will have a glass of red wine. And that was a massive mistake. If there's one thing that Egypt doesn't do well, it's wine.
It was just bad wine.
It was the worst wine I've ever had in my life. It just tasted like pure vinegar.
I don't drink wine unless it's like with family members and you're going to tell a big secret to them or something.
You know? Is that, if that's the case, that's the worst time to drink wine, no?
No, it is. Fucking it's very hell. Bad. It's just like, the thing I don't like about you.
Straight away.
I was like, no, tell me now. And you're just drinking your blue nun going, you're all a bunch of fuckers. And then you wake up in the morning, you're like, I'm sorry, it's fine. I got more questions here in my magical notebook. What's your favorite breed of dog?
I'm a cat person. So.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is there a special breed of cat that you like now?
No, I love all cats. But there's a one called British Shorthair, which is grey kind of cat, like ones in the whiskers.
They're super cute.
Do they look almost translucent? Is that the cat?
No, they're grey. They almost look blue. They're very, very good looking, very smart, nice cats.
I've had bad experiences with cats. I'm allergic to them. And there's this cat, my friend has this cat called Sebastian. And I once did a seance in his house. And then I went to bed. I was very scared after the seance. And I woke up and Sebastian was sitting on my face. And he shat into the sink that night. And my friend was like really worried because he's like, Sebastian never shits in the sink. As if Sebastian was possessed by this ghost. Like that's what the ghost enjoyed doing. He's like, I'm leaving a message. Shit in the sink. So... I've given cats a wide berth since then, but I'm open to the idea of loving a cat, but I'd have to take a lot of Puritan. But sure, look, I take the pill to love my boyfriend, so, you know, it's all... every day, must never forget, you know? I can do that for cats. What are you, a cat or a dog person? Or I don't give a shit about either or.
Oh, I love dogs and cats, but I love dogs. I'm on my third collie.
They're a good dog, aren't they?
As in, like,
she didn't eat them now.
Well, our first dog was Chloe, and we had her for a few years, and she got neutered, but the vet didn't take out all her shit, so she was still giving off this scent. And there was loads of dogs coming around my house and pissing everywhere. My mom got very angry and we brought her back to the vet and said, I don't think you did this right, you tick. And he went, oh God, you know what? I left bits in there or whatever. Left an ovary or something in there. And so she got another little operation again and he didn't put a cone on her. And I remember I was only a little kid and I said, I think she should have a cone on her head. And he said, no, she's grand. She's a good dog.
She's a
good dog, right? I don't know where he got his fucking veterinary degree. But then we came home and I went to school. And when I came back, the back garden was soaking wet. But it was a very hot day. And I was like, what the fuck's going on here? And there was no dog. And she had been chasing a bird. And
No, Hesse's going to end.
Her stitches ripped open and her intestines went all over the garden.
Oh, my God.
And my dad had to hose away the blood before I got home. But she survived.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
She survived.
A survivor story.
Twist. But then...
Just get new intestines.
No, because, you know, you have loads of intestine. He cut away loads of it. And she was just left with, like, she basically kind of had, like...
She was like a baby born doll, just goes straight through.
Yeah. You know? So then... So then Christmas came along and she was in the house kind of getting better. And then on Christmas Day, my granddad was over and I said, Granddad, come on out and see Chloe. She's all better. And she was out in the washroom at the back. And I said, Granddad, come on out. And as I was walking past, my mom said, Andrea, stir that gravy. I started stirring the gravy and Chloe was asleep. And Granddad just went up and went, who's a lovely dog? And she jumped up and bit him in the face. nearly took his eye out. And then my parents said that they were going to take her away to a special farm in Clontarf where they train dogs for the dog show.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. Second dog, Buddy, just died of old age. Great dog. And then Joey is my dog now. He's about 3. And he actually saved me from a fire a few weeks ago.
What?
Yeah.
Woo,
can I tell you about this?
No, tell
me that story and you told them about the intestines.
Well, I had to put them all in order. So I came home from work and I went to sleep at about 6 because I was knackered. And I woke up around like 9 to my dog barking like mad on my bed, like a fucking maniac. And I've never seen him bark like that before. And I was angry. I was like, shut the fuck up. And I was disoriented. I didn't know what was going on. Then I heard some screaming at the front. And my next door neighbor's house was on fire. And the whole house is fucked. And so Joey woke me up and I got out of my house. And thankfully the fire didn't spread to our house, just like the gutters and stuff. But he woke me up. It would have been, I don't know. I would have been grand probably, but.
No.
But you just never know. But he's a great dog. But I'll tell you how the fire started next door.
Oh.
Because this is terrible. Do people know? Okay. So they were having a barbecue at the back. And there was about 8 people at the barbecue. And
no.
Somebody... One of the...
We're talking about a fire, Alison.
One of the guests... this male guest... Because I only know this because... all their windows were smashed in the fire. And so when they're in their house talking, we can all hear it. So they were talking about it a few days after, and they were basically giving out about this one lad who was at the barbecue. Basically, he went upstairs to go to the toilet and he did a massive shit, and then he lit a candle to mask the smell. And the candle, the curtains caught fire on the candle and burnt the whole house down.
Oh my God.
I know.
I mean,
imagine being that friend. Like,
did he admit it?
They say the one with the IBS did the damage.
Body to body.
Did he admit that that's what happened?
Or are you just assuming?
No, no, no. Well, that's a big thing.
I heard them talking about it in the back and they were like, oh, fucking Mikko lit the candle like after his shit. Like, so they knew it was him because, yeah. Anyway.
I'd never admit to it.
I know.
I'd be like, it was an act of God.
Yeah. Fucking scary.
Oh, that's terrible.
Oh, my gosh. What have you got a history with dogs or cats, Shauna?
None as cool as that. my parents had dachshunds, like little sausage dogs. They're all right. Like, I had a Bichon Frise up until 3 months ago when I broke up with my boyfriend. Oh. And now
does he have it now?
It went to
A bitch. On Frise. I don't know.
We couldn't decide, so we just had to put him
Oscar
down.
Oscar went to the Happy Farm, and by Happy Farm, it was like a legitimate Happy Farm, and went down to live with his parents in Wexford. So he's like,
neither of you got the dog.
So neither of us got the dog because, like, it couldn't be he couldn't be left alone in the house for more than like 4 hours, and we both work like full time. So yeah, he's like living like this little like lap dog, like total city dog, knows nothing of the country. Now lives with like 3 other dogs and like horses and stuff, and it's hilarious. Because he's just like, he doesn't know. He's a little white dog. He doesn't know how to like be dirty or like be a dog.
Oh.
Yeah. He thinks he's a human.
Ew. It's probably down there. This is disgusting. Why didn't mommy bring me to work in the dildo shop?
We asked, oh my God. So me and my office mates, because I share an office with like two other people. And they're like, can you bring him into work? And I was like, I could, but I can't bring him on the bus. He's like just too big that you just like couldn't bring him like in my handbag, or it would be like a really big bag. And the landlord of the office building said there's no pets allowed. I'm like, well, you're just ruining everything.
I had a Jack Russell called Lucky, and she came down to my house in the state one day with no owner attached. And she used to do this cool trick where she'd get her front legs and drag herself along the floor, and her back legs would just flap, like, just on the floor. She looked like she was a little army person crawling. And I was like, that's the dog for me. So we took in the dog, and Mam brought it to the vets, and the vet was like, it's riddled with worms. It's riddled. Never seen a case like it. So she got dewormed. And she never did that trick again. She was just in severe discomfort. And I was like, what a cool trick.
Did you have to make a decision about deworming her? We can deworm her, but she'll never be able to do that trick again.
I know. I don't know. She didn't last that long, to be honest with you. When she got knocked down in my cousin's house in Tipperary, I was playing Tony Hawk 2. And I heard a big slap, and we went out, and I was like, my dad went out and go, don't look up the road, love, don't look up the road. I was like, what's happening? And they buried Lucky, and we built this big massive cross for her on the side of the road. And then the locals from Tipperary were like, oh, there's a terrible accident after happening. Yeah, and it's very bad to have a dog called Lucky when it dies, because the jokes. When you're mourning your dog, it's like you should have called the dog like Live Forever Dog, or like, you know. But anyway, that's my sad story about a dog. Oh, also I had this dog called Poppy. My mam had bought a rug for €200 at a catalogue, and Poppy gave birth to 9 pups, and we let her out for a bit of a walk around the sitting room like a victory lap. But then her placenta came out on Mammy's catalogue rug, and Mam started crying. And then Poppy looked at Mam, and then she swallowed up her placenta. So
that's probably very good for her, though.
It is. And we were like, it's like she knew how much that rug was. Yeah. You
know? Good dog.
Yeah, I mean, we kept it. We put a bit of vis, or what's it called? Vanish.
Febreze.
Oh, yeah, you'd need to Febreze that. Yeah. You'd need. Have you ever. I know I'm asking you, like, it's just because you're from three different, very different industries. And I feel like, you know, have you ever been in a band when you were younger? And if so, what was the name of it?
I was in a girl group.
Amazing. What was it called?
Oh, my God. It was when we were 12, so Spice Girls were really big at the time, and we wanted to be, like, the Spice Girls, and we're like, it should be, like, some kind of, like, variation of, like, our names. So there was me, Shauna, Allison. I had an Allison friend. It wasn't you. Okay. Sorry. And then Stephanie and Emily. So we're like, we're sassy. And then... So then a couple years later, I realized that was actually an acronym for self-addressed stamped envelope, and I was really disappointed. it is in America.
What about yourselves?
I was in a band called The Toucans before.
The Toucans?
Yeah, years ago. I didn't want to call... I actually wanted to call the band Abortion Priest Fuckers.
Long.
I know. It's too long.
I wanted a really
You're
offensive
right,
name.
It's too long. You couldn't get that in a poster now, you know. But or a badge. You know?
We were a folk band, and I just wanted a really offensive name, because I thought the folk was kind of coming up, like, was getting very popular, and I just thought we wouldn't be able to make a name for ourselves unless we had a really fucked up name. But no, they went with the Toucans anyway. Whatever. We did one gig. It was shit.
Well,
actually, it was good gig, but it was shit that it ended.
How did it end?
we just didn't do any more gigs. They're all in better bands now, whatever.
Okay.
And I'm doing comedy.
Yeah. Were you in a band, Shona?
No, can't. Sorry.
Don't be
boring.
Sorry.
I am, yeah.
You're not bored. You've had a fucking great life. You've been
I'm not dying either, am I? The curtain's about to draw. Yeah. Actually, yeah, on that note.
We're going to do a seance after. Like, I was in this band called the Glitter Babes when I was 11. Well, I called them friends. With these girls I knew.
That's a more interesting story. Sorry.
Yeah? Yeah. What, the relationship?
Well, why were they friends and now not anymore?
Because I never felt like I was in their group. Oh. Like, okay, I'm going to change her name because this is a podcast. So, Sandra. Sandra went on the Den, right, with another girl. And Dustin and Saki, it was the roll the dice game. Do you remember that? Roll the dice. And the two of them were there at the game show and they said, do you want to say hello to anyone? And they named out everyone. Everyone on my estate except me. And I was in a band with her. I thought that we had some kind of relationship. But we did have a big row.
What did you say to her?
Yeah, it was over that.
That's a reason. Yeah.
Yeah. And we sang that song. Do you know 3LW? No more, baby, I'm a do right.
No.
Goes.
No.
Never if you that. Can, if you can be a man, be a band man. No more, no more. Baby, I'ma do right. No, I'm not the one. Say it again, say it again. Oh. Do you remember that? No, we used to write our own songs. Oh, it was a very good song. It was on That's So Raven.
that was a good show.
It was a good show, and we were entering Star Stream, which was a competition on RTE2. And we broke up before we auditioned, so I went as myself. And they were like, so are the Glitter Babes here? And I was like, I am the Glitter Babes.
Is there footage of this?
Well, I sang Nelly Furtado, I'm Like a Bird.
Nelly Furtado.
Did I misspeak, Andrea?
Her name's not Furtado, is it?
It is, yeah.
Furtado.
Is it not Furtado, yeah?
No, it's that. I'm sure it's pronounced another way, isn't it?
Furtado. Furtado.
Furtado.
Furtado.
That's why I knew there was something wrong.
I thought I'd said like Nelly Furtado or something like that. That's a potato egg based snack.
So is there footage of this that we can show on like maybe the next episode of Alison Spittle Show will be like, this is your life. And we show all these clips.
No, because I got rejected.
Oh, so they didn't even film
it? They didn't even film it. I auditioned and then I got a letter 2 weeks later going, unfortunately you didn't. And I've held that against those girls ever since because I feel if we went up as a trio, we would have got up there. But anyway.
What was the reason for not mentioning you in the big shout out?
I think they just genuinely forgot and I took it very personal.
Yeah, but there's something, yeah.
I don't know, do you know when you have that and everyone else who knows me and you're like, fuck that, I'm not taking that now.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
Do you know what I mean?
Although I'd say you're exaggerating about them naming everyone on the estate except for you.
It was a very small estate.
Yeah.
It's 14 houses.
I don't buy it, I'm sorry. Dramatic effect, that one.
I hold grudges. I hold grudges a lot. What else did they do? Nothing much after that, actually. It was fine. We had our own song that we made up. And we thought, it goes, high is high, low is low. This is where I like to go. Come with me and you'll see where I like to be, baby, baby, baby. Uh-huh, uh-huh. That was it.
That's a fucking hit.
Wasn't it a hit?
Tune.
I feel like
they try to befriend you now because you're a famous comedian and they're like, oh, Alison, remember that? Why about we get the band back together?
How do you deal with trolls, actually? Like, do you ever have to deal with trolls?
A little bit. I mean, one guy said to me he hoped I was the first woman in Ireland raped by a refugee. So
the first?
Yeah, just the first, but numero one, the first one. So.
Jesus.
Wow. I mean, that's
Did
quite...
you report him? You should report that kind of shit.
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah, that one because he was kind of he did it a few times before that, and he's just one of these.
Was it a trolling account or was it a real?
No,
person?
He was a guy. Yeah, he had a name. I can't remember his
Fuck
name.
Yes.
But anyway, that was mean, but I, at the end of the day, like, how sad are those people? Although it's not, I'm not saying that you know people can't get affected by it. I didn't really, because it's just an outrageous thing to say to somebody. But you also think about how unbelievably sad those people are in their bedroom thinking things like that and saying things like that.
Yeah, I wonder at what point of the day they go, "Oh, that's the zinger. Wait there." You know?
Yeah, it's just men like lying down,
like cooking eggs.
They're just lying down in their beds with their Tyrannosaurus Rex hands like this, with the laptop on their chest, having wanks, and that's all they do.
Yeah, because I'm interested in the whole idea of trolling. And especially, like, what about you, Shauna? Do you get trolls, actually?
I'm really lucky in that I haven't had any major problems with trolls. And then the people who have kind of said mean things to me, I just think they're just so ridiculous that doesn't even, like, warrant a response. And I'm, like, I'm very, like, I will avoid conflict to the extreme amount, like where I would just be like, I'm just going to leave that there and just run away. I can't stand conflict. But I have friends who are like, will love a Twitter flame war and will devote hours to a Twitter flame war.
I don't think there's any point.
No, there's no point.
It depends. Well, it depends if I'm mentally ill at the time. Like, I know there's two tests for me if I'm in a bad place, and that's if I'm watching Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares at 4 o'clock in the morning, then I'm like, something's wrong. And then the other one is if I, like, Google search my name and then row with people and go, fuck you. I'm a person. And I mean, like, you know, but if I'm in a good place, I'm like, oh, fuck that shit, you're fine. Yeah. But I remember I was on telly doing the Brendan O'Connor show. And, like, you get tweets and stuff. And there was one tweet that's like, oh, you're a fat bitch. And I was thinking about it, like, that this man had got so angry that something was on the telly that he didn't want to stick his dick into at that point. And he's like, oh, I must tweet at Alison and at RTE to inform them that I haven't got a hard-on at the moment. The people must be told, you know. And I kind of, like, I get a bit worried because I got a TV show coming out, and I've said this in my show as well, that I'm worried that when a TV show comes out, because it's going to be 6 half-an-hour long TV shows, this man is not going to have a hard-on for, which is very, you know, because they got 23 and a half hours elsewhere. And I was thinking, if people could tweet at RTE and just say that they've had a big wank while watching my show, 9:30, Monday the 13th of November, just tweet hashtag big wank, or hashtag big wank on the farm. Just, it'd be great. But I'm finding it, like, kind of difficult to deal with trolls. Like, you do dating online at the moment. Like, you must have a whole...
I kind of wanted to bring that up. Thank you for the segue.
No problem, baby.
Yeah, like... So Twitter, I don't really have much of a problem with. Like, Instagram is just a lovely, happy community of people just posting selfies of themselves, which is great. But my OkCupid inbox is, like, so great. and by great, I mean terrible. So I have, like, a friend who, like, my sole purpose for being friends with this person is to send photos of my OkCupid inbox. And one consistent theme that I've found is, like, guys will go through my profile, find a TV show or a podcast that they're into, and then congratulate me on being into that same thing as them, as if, like, I'm they're giving me, like, a pat on the head for being into something that they're into.
They approve of.
That they approve of. They're like, oh, you're into Rick and Morty. Well done. And I've actually gotten that. So, guys, if you could stop doing that, that would be great. And The Wire. Rick and Morty and The Wire. And
everybody likes The Wire.
Everybody likes The Wire. But it's like, yeah, Rick and Morty, The Wire, Tarantino films, literally any podcast. Allison Spittle, yeah.
I bet you do not get. Oh, congratulations. What about yourselves? Have you ever been internet? I've never been internet dating because I'm going out with someone for 5 years and it just never got to that point. You know what I mean? I've been on chat rooms where I've pretended to be vampires, but that's not really a romantic thing.
I did before, but I don't think I'd. It was a good while ago, but I don't think I'd be that interested. I found it just grim. And actually, my flatmate at the time, because he was on Tinder at the same time, we're the same age, so we kept on coming into his profiles, which was funny. But he was looking at the men's, and he was just shocked. He's like, I can't believe I'm actually one of these, you know, because they were so bad. Some of the guys were showing up. And so it was just a bit depressing. So I remember there was one guy, rather than it was his picture, and he had this meme, and it said, when she says, don't come inside me, but you know she'll make a great single mother.
No!
I thought,
oh, like, I got to date that guy.
He should actually be arrested. Wow. Yeah. So, yeah.
Who was that? Julian Assange, was it?
Yeah, because I travel so much, I like to have the distance from Dublin, you know, to the Ecuadorian embassy.
Must come visit me. Yeah, yeah. I have accommodation.
Must have flexible travel schedule and some decent air miles and speak Ecuadorian. But so I just thought it was a little bit grim. But slim pickings.
Yeah, that's grim. What about you, Andrea, now?
I was on Tinder for a while, a few years ago, but then I started going out with somebody, and I've been with him since. And if we break up, I don't think I could do it in Ireland. I think I just have to fucking emigrate and just go to a country where people just ask people out on dates.
Yeah. You know? I used to live with this girl who was on Tinder, met a guy on Tinder, and they were in bed together, and they just were sitting after finishing the job and stuff, and he was flicking through his phone, and she was like, oh, you must be like looking at an app or something. He's like,
was he on messing Tinder again?
He was on Tinder again. And she saw the screen, she's like, you were just on Tinder there. And he's like, no.
Was he rating her? You know,
yeah.
Fucking hell.
Well, he'd literally, like, you know, the sweat wasn't even off his forehead, and he was like, fuck it now, different options.
What an asshole.
A glutton, an absolute glutton. It's like looking at the dessert menu while you're into your main course, you know. And she was like, no, you were. And he goes, no, I wasn't. And then she got out her phone, because you can check apparently when the last time that person was
online.
On Twitter. And she caught him. She still went out with him for 2 weeks. Very low self-esteem. But, yeah.
I know the person you're talking about, because she told me that same exact story the other day.
Yeah. She's better now. That's the only... I had a flash there. I'm sorry. Oh, I had such a great chat. you should listen to the respective podcasts that these ladies have been on as well, because they, like, swear to God, I don't know why I'm swearing to God, swearing to whatever celestial being or nothing. We're free to do what we like. They're really good podcasts, and they're in studio, and I'm glad that you got a chance to see them with an audience. So give a round of applause for everyone. Izzy,
I'm just gonna eat these.
Andrea, Sean, and Sean, everybody. Woo! Thank you very much to Copperberg Ireland for sponsoring the show. Thank you very much to Sarah Garvey, Andrea Farrell, who make the show. Bobby Ahern from No Monster Club. He is a future Eurovision winner and fantastic. He did the theme tune. William Conway, my old school friend who I'm going to see tomorrow and I'm very excited about. He did the artwork. Alan Bennett is the head of Head Stuff and helped us get this thing started. So thank you very much, Alan. Quick thing before I go. I'm not letting Copperberg get all the advertisements. I'm going to advertise myself. You could go see a live version of the Alison Spittle Show with Tony Cantwell, Snapchat superstar, who I'm super excited about chatting to. Neil Delamere, a stand-up comedian superstar, who I'm super excited about seeing as well. And we're going to be in the Workman's live on December 12th at 8 p.m. I'd recommend you buy tickets because they are selling fast. Do you know what else you can buy tickets for? What? Alison, you got a new... I don't know why I'm... Does that sound different to me? Not Alison, because it's me. I have a tour happening at the moment. It's hitting Monaghan, it's hitting Moat, Wexford, Galway, Kilkenny, all the spots. I've added some dates. Go to my Facebook page there and you can catch it. Go to my tour. And if you can't go to those places, well... How about Vicar Street? January 13th. That's a Saturday night, lads. No excuse.
January's going to be shite. Why not improve it with a bit of comedy? My show, We're Your Princess, is happening on January 13th. I'd really appreciate it if you come along. Sophie Hagen, who is just a superstar of real life and my heart, she's going to be there too. And Rufo Kelly Hunter, who is a fantastic comedian. Please go. That's all my advertising done. Oh, wait. No, not done yet. Do you know I have a TV show? Yeah, I do. Nowhere Fast. It's on every Monday on RT2 at 10 o'clock. You can also catch it after the Ray D'Arcy show on RT1. So there's a repeat there. And if that doesn't float your boat, why, the RT player is always available too. Nowhere Fast is a show I worked on for 3 years, and the reaction to it has been very nice. I don't want to talk about it anymore without sounding like I'm bragging, because that's the worst thing I can be accused of. But thank you so much, guys, for all your positive feedback. And especially about the podcast, about the TV show, everything. You are class. So I want that. I want it to be the last thing that you hear, apart from the ricochet bit that comes up now, where it's like, this has been a something I've heard stuff. But what you should listen to is that. Thank you. I think you're great. And I gotta go now. Bye.
This has been a production of the Headstuff Podcast Network.